mari tinggal merentang salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعنها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، قال بما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم، ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. وقال أيضا إن جهنم لموعدهم أجمعين لها سبعة أبواب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنا وعلي وفاطمة والحسن والحسين في حظيرة القدس في قبة بيضاء سقفها أرش الرحمن عز وجل. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The series of speeches on the subject of seven doors and the straight path has entered into the fifth stage, and we have already learned by now that Satan has sworn by the izzat and dignity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be present on the straight path to deceive the humankind, and try his best by his waswasa and deception to make us fall into the hellfire through one or several of those seven gateways and doors which are found in the existence of every human. And I already explained the seven doors of the hellfire, which are: first door is the two eyes of the human being, and the second is the tongue of the human, which has the largest share of all among all the sins mentioned in Islam, approximately 46 sins are committed through the tongue only. And the door number 3 are the 2 ears, and the door number 4 of the hell are the 2 hands of a person, and door number 5 is the stomach, and door number 6 the private parts, and door number 7 the 2 feet. And Satan had performed 6,000 years of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and due to one moment of rebellious takabbur and arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stripped him of the position that he enjoyed as Mu'allimul Malaika, the teacher of the angels. When our Prophet went to Mi'raj, he saw 4 members which were burnt down, and when he asked, Prophet was told that these 4 are the members which belong to Shaitan. Thank you. These 4 members belong to Shaitan. The Shaitan was a scholar. He was not an ordinary, ignorant person. But due to the fact that he showed istikbar and arrogance and takabbur, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate even for a moment, he ended up becoming rajim, matrood, thrown out of the divine domain, randa-e-dargah. And takabbur, you know, saqar, we have learned that saqar is the name of a wadi and valley inside the hellfire. Saqar is actually the name of a valley found inside the hellfire, which ista'dhana an yatanaffasa, which was seeking permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to breathe for a moment. Give him a break so that this valley can breathe. فَتَنَفَّسَ فَأُحْرِقَ جَهَنَّمْ. The hadith says that when this valley was given the permission from Allah and it breathed, it took its breath, because of taking the breath, the entire Jahannam was lit up. Sari ki sari Jahannam jo roshan ho gayi, jal padi, wo us wadi ke saans lene ki wajah se. And this valley, which we call Saqar, is the valley which belongs to the mutakabbireen, the arrogant people in this world, who will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in the form of particles, zarat. And all the billions and billions and billions of human beings of the earlier and later generations will be crossing over them on the Day of Resurrection. And when everybody will cross over them, then the turn will arrive for them. So takabbur is something which Allah hates in its totality. And there's no room for anyone to do takabbur and arrogance in front of Allah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us with these divine teachings. And we already discussed few of the ways how Satan deceives the human being to fall victim and enter into the hellfire through one or several of those doors. We discussed the zenith and tajammul parasti and the adornments and beauties of this world. We discussed about the love of dunya, and we discussed about the hirs and greed already. And tonight, I would like to discuss another way which the Satan adopts commonly to deceive us, so we fell down into the hellfire, which is that Satan removes the khawf of Allah from our hearts. Izalatul khawf. Because Satan removes the khawf of Allah, that's the reason why the human beings commit the sins. And we end up into getting our souls burnt. Now look at the verse of Holy Quran where the Holy Prophet is saying, Allah is saying to the Holy Prophet, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ. Say, come up. تَعَالَوْ, come up. أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ. I recite upon you, I recite what your Lord has made haram on you. And again, my teacher was saying, Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah in his tafsir, that the word ta'alaw in Arabic is only used when the speaker and the muhadab and audience are standing on two different stages. That means the speaker is higher and the audience are available on a lower level. If they were on the same level, we don't use the word ta'alaw, we use the word ilayya in Arabic. Come to me. So basically, the Holy Prophet is addressing us, the humanity, so we can come up, so we can get elevated in our levels through abstaining from the sins. All what Allah has made haram upon us, if we abstain from those sins, this is how we can get elevated and reach up and higher where we belong. Because Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have already reached the highest of the possible stages which basically belongs to them. In the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech, where Prophet has said that Ana wa Ali wa Fatima wa Hasan wa Hussein fi Hadirat al-Quds. Hadirat al-Quds is the highest level of paradise. The divine, the holy, area or the zone, the holy zone that belongs to them, me and Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein belong to the Hadirat al-Quds fi qubbatin bayda, in the white dome, saqfuha arshur rahman azza wa jal, its ceiling is the arsh and throne of Allah. So now that they have already reached the highest of the levels, they are asking the entire humanity, come up. That means abstain from the sins. If we abstain from the sins, that's how we get elevated. We join the caravan of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and we get elevated. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should thank the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt for providing us with this information about what harms our soul. Every sin burns our soul straight away. Not that our soul will be burnt on the day of judgment. No. Soul burns, get burnt straight away right now when we perform the sin. And this is what was intolerable for Rasulullah and the Ahlul Bayt when they used to see the sinners performing the sins and they saw their souls burning right now. They couldn't stand it. That's why they were always advising us to abstain from those sins. And the benefit of the khawf and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very instrumental in guidance of the humanity. Allah has adopted two ways, the inzar and tabshir, giving the glad tidings and good news. And inzar means warning the people about the wrath and punishment and adab of Allah, and glad tidings and basharat and good, glad tidings about the good news that you're going to get all those beautiful rewards if you obey. But our scholars of Akhlaq say that basically the Basharat and Tabshir policy simply doesn't work for most of the people. Most of the human beings simply don't get attracted to the divine teachings just because Allah has said you got to get this much reward. people are simple-minded. They want, they don't get attracted with that. They want something right now, and something means the material things right now. And since the benefits which are available on the Day of Judgment are not visible for them right now, it doesn't work for them. And most of the human beings are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of His warnings. Most of those who are obeying, they are obeying because of the policy of inzar and warning that Allah has adopted. And very, very few people, extremely precious few people, the awliyaullah, the beloved servants of Allah, are the only ones who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the fact that what Imam Ali alayhi salam has mentioned in a hadith, that ilahi ma abadtuka khawfan min narika wala tama'an fi jannatika bal walakin ra'aytuka ahlan lil ibadati fa abadtuka. That's the Mazmoon riwayah, that, oh my Lord, I don't worship you because of the scare of your hellfire, nor did I worship you for the sake of the rewards or entering the greed of entering into the paradise. Instead, I found you ahl and deserving to be worshipped, and that's the reason I worship you. So there are very few awliya Allah who reach that level. Some of the riwayat it says, well, hubban lahu. Actually, I worship you for the sake of your love. So, either for the sake of love or for the sake of considering Allah to be worthy of worshipping. And my teacher was saying that there is a world, a whole world of difference between all these three kinds of worships which are available. Because if there is no reward, those categories of people who are worshipping Allah because of all the rewards in the paradise, let's suppose there are no rewards. So this category will stop worshipping. Isn't that right? Because they were worshipping for the sake of rewards. Let's suppose tomorrow Allah announces there is no reward in the paradise for you any longer. So this category would then stop worshipping God. Isn't that right? And those are the people who are worshipping Allah because they are afraid of His punishments. If they don't obey, they would get punished. If Allah announces tomorrow there is no punishment whatsoever, do what you wish to do. You know, in the name of freedom, in the name of democracy, in the name of women rights, in the name of human rights, in the name of freedom of speech, whatever label you want to put, and do put, give the dog a bad name and hang it. That's what the humanity have been doing, you know, killing millions and millions of human beings. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis have been killed in the name of spreading freedom, democratizing the Middle East. And worse than that is that there are some Muslims who are buying it. This is even worse than that. So we find that if you want to look at the reality of freedom, if you want to look at the reality of freedom that the West talks about, then you have to look at the fact that when they are the ones who are supporting all those undemocratic, unpopular, tyrant regimes in the entire region, and supporting or installing those governments at the cost of crushing the democracy and crushing the will and wish of the people, and not allowing them to gain independence. Look at what has been done in Algeria. The National Salvation Front, who had won the electoral mandate from the people, more than 92% of the majority, but you find that the military coup takes place, and the French government and the European governments and the US government and everybody rushes in to endorse the military government which crushed the elected government of the Muslims, because they don't want an Islamic government happening anywhere after the Islamic Republic of Iran. Isn't that right? So when it comes to Islam, the behavior is different. So we have to be very much watchful. Women's rights. When the Turkish parliament was passing a bill to ban the prostitution in Turkey, you find the European Union jumps in there. Hey guys, you don't have the right to put a ban, otherwise your case as a membership into the EU will be jeopardized. So now you understand what's the meaning of women's rights in their dictionary? That's exactly this kind of lifestyle is what they want to promote. So that's the nature of the human being, to seek excuses before doing the sins. So what we were discussing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He announces tomorrow that there is no punishment that will be given to anybody who performs any action which is haram, so all those people who have been worshipping Allah for the sake of the fear would stop worshipping of God. Isn't that right? The beauty of those people who are worshipping Allah because they consider Allah to be Ahl is that they don't care whether they are getting a punishment or they are getting a reward. All they care about is that what Allah loves from us to do. Because Allah deserves to be worshipped. That's how they become so high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is narrated in the history of Mahmud and Ayaz. Mahmud Ghaznavi has a slave named Ayaz. Once Mahmud Ghaznavi was throwing some of those rubies and pearls and jewels, you know, for his people and companions traveling with him. Everybody can, whatever you can gather, whatever you can pick up, that's yours. So Ayaz was standing next to him. He didn't rush to grab any of those rubies or jewels. And Mahmud Ghaznavi said to him, "Well, while you are standing, everybody rushed to pick up those things. Why didn't you rush to pick up any of those jewels?" He said, "When I have already had you, why would I go for any other jewel?" So if we understand the fact that we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have the Quran and Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, we would cherish about what we have already gained. The reason why we go after anything else is because we don't understand what we have gotten. And besides, what Allah is going to reward us is anyway, it's the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not obliged to do that. You know, my teacher Ayatullah Sheikh Jawad Tabrizi rahmatullah alayhi was saying in his there's a kharij that basically Allah is not obliged to provide any reward for us for any of our obediences. Because if we obey Allah, we are doing something which benefits ourselves. All our obediences, prayers, fasting, hajj, zakat, forms, jihad, you know, we put a beard, the women wear hijab, any kind of good deeds that we perform, we are actually serving our spirituality. We are not benefiting God. He's not getting anything out of Allahu Samad. Allah to be niyaz hai. He's already complete and full. And He doesn't stand in need of anything. And there's no benefit that He's pursuing that He has asked us to do this and not to do that. So my teacher was saying, if Allah is not obliged to give us the reward of anything that we perform among the good deeds. Why? Because the benefit doesn't turn back to Him. All the benefits turn back to us. Still Allah is going to give us the reward. Why? Because of the fact that He has promised us to give the reward. If He did not promise, in Allah la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. If He did not promise, then basically He was not obliged. Since He has promised and He never breaches His promises, so He is certainly going to give us the reward. So having understood this prelude and muqaddimah to our discussion, we realize that khawf and fear of Allah is the most effective way that affects the regular human beings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about the Holy Prophet that he is naziran lil alameen, but he never said that Prophet is bashiran lil alameen. Prophet is Bashir also. But the most effective way that works for everybody is being a warner, to warn the people. If you warn the people, it works for all. So once we find when the Holy Quran has said that يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَضَعُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. when you find that every breastfeeding mother would leave her child and every pregnant woman would abort her child, وَتَرَ النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. You see the people as if they are drunk. On the day of judgment, when you see the people, will be just like as if they are drunk. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى, and Quran says they are not drunk. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. But the adab and punishment of Allah is severe. And Sheikh Saduq rahmatullah alayh has narrated that, well, Sheikh Saduq is a very, very respectable mujtahid of ours from the earlier times. His grave was opened up incidentally in the times of Qajar dynasty. And in those days, when his grave was opened up, they found that his janazah was just fresh. Even the henna that was put on his nails were just like as if he has put it right now. And his kafan, his body was just fresh. Although, you know, hundreds of years have been passed by, because earth is one of the assigned agents of Allah. It cannot harm those people who have taqwa. The narrations narrated by Sheikh Saduq rahmatullah alayh are regarded with a lot of respect by our fuqaha, because of the fact that Sheikh Saduq was born due to the dua of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. First of all, and the narrations that he has narrated reached the Ahlul Bayt with one or two or very few narrators in the middle, because he belongs to the earlier time, very close to the time of Imam Askari alayhi salam. So his narrations are authentic. So Sheikh Saduq has narrated that بَيْنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ قَاعِدٍ إِذْ أَتَاهُ جِبْرَئِيلُ وَهُوَ كَئِيبٌ حَزِينٌ. Once the Holy Prophet was sitting and Jibreel arrived on the Prophet, and Jibreel was anxious and sorrowful. So Prophet asked him, Mali araka ka'iban hazina, what happened that I see you anxious and sorrowful? And Jibreel said that kayfa la akunu ka'iban hazina waqad wud'at manafikhu jahannam al-yawm. Why wouldn't be I anxious and sorrowful? Because the manafiq of Jahannam are laid down today. Prophet said, وَمَا مَنَافِيقُ جَهَنَّمُ, what are the manafiq of Jahannam? And Jibreel said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ, please pay attention, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ بِالنَّارِ فَأُوْقِدَ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفَ عَامٍ حَتَّى إِحْمَرَتْ. Allah commanded the hellfire and lit up the hellfire to be burned for 1,000 years, and till the fire color turned red. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ بِهَا فَأُوْقِدَ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفَ عَامٍ حَتَّى إِبْيَضَّتْ. And Allah commanded, and the fire was further lit up for another 1,000 years till it converted into the color white. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ بِهَا فَأُوْقِدَ عَلَيْهَا حَتَّى إِسْوَدَّتْ وَهِيَ سَوْدَاءٌ مُظْلِمَةٌ. And then Allah commanded the hellfire to be lit further for another 1,000 years, and then the hellfire converted into a black color fire. So right now the hellfire is black in color. وَهِيَ سَوْدَاءٌ مُظْلِمَةٌ. So, وَلَوْ أَنَّ حَلَقَةً, and if one link of the chain is dropped on the whole planet Earth would be melting with that link. And وَلَوْ أَنَّ قَطْرَةً, Sheikh Saduq narrates, وَلَوْ أَنَّ قَطْرَةً مِنَ الظَّرِيعِ وَالزَّقُّومِ قَطَرَتْ, في شراب أهل الدنيا مات أهل الدنيا من نتنها. Even if one drop of the drink that the people of hellfire would drink, ghari and zakum, are the food of the people of the hellfire. If one drop of that drink falls in the water of this earth, all the dwellers of earth would die because of the bad smell. So that's narrated by Shaykh. So the Prophet started to cry. And Prophet heard that. Jahannam ko is tarike se dam kiya gaya. Allah ki taraf se hukum dekhe. When Prophet heard this, Prophet started to cry. Prophet was Raqiqul Qalb. It's the ni'mat of Allah to have Riqqatul Qalb. Some people never cry. They never have tears in their eyes. This is a sign of Qaswatul Qulub, being stone-hearted. And no matter what kind of masaib of Imam Hussein or other personalities from Ahlul Bayt they hear, they never end up crying. These kind of people should rethink about who they are and what they are doing in their lives, because our dumu ma jaffat ad-dumu illa li qaswat al-qulub. The tears of a person never dries up except because he became stone-hearted. Wa ma qaswat al-qulub illa li kathrat adh-dhunub. And a person never becomes stone-hearted until he has performed a lot of sins. So kasrat of dhunub, abundance of sins, causes us to become stone-hearted, and becoming stone-hearted, this is in turn causing us to get our tears dried up. Whereas we find some of the great personalities and mu'mineen and atqiya and ulama, you know, you talk about the name of Imam Hussein al-Islam and they start crying. Actually, this is one of the signs of a mu'min, that when he hears the name of Hussein, he will start crying. So, you know, Ayatollah Uthma Mirza Shirazi Buzurg, rahmatullah alayhi, who gave the hukum fatwa for tahrim of tambaku, that tobacco is haram, and he cancelled the deal with the British and slapped on his on their face. So they turned in a disappointing way. They turned away from Iran. And that was the turning point where they started to research about the Shia Marji'iyyah, and what is a mujtahid, and what is the taqleed, and what's a fatwa, and what's a hukum. That's where they started to do the research about us. So that was the biggest slap on the face of the British, hit by Ayatollah al-Uzma Mirza Shirazi, whom we historically call him Mirza Shirazi al-Buzurg, the Great. So basically, we find that Mirza Shirazi was the one who made the tobacco haram, and when he issued the fatwa, yeah, this is a very good thing if we remember these incidents, because it has to be praised, those people and those nations who have obeyed the scholars, and Allah has provided them the izzat and dignity because of obedience to the maraji and scholars. So when he gave the fatwa of tobacco is haram, as soon as he learned that British have signed a deal with the king, he gave the fatwa that today the use of tobacco al-yom istimal tambaku ala ayy nahwin kan dar hukm mubarize ba imam zamana. That was the exact statement, precisely what Mirza Shirazi wrote with his pen. Prophet had already said the ink of a scholar is superior to the blood of the martyrs. Sadaqa Rasulullah. Prophet said the truth. Ulama ke qalam ki siyahi, Paighambar Akram ne farmaya, shuhada ke khun se afzal hai.
Jaane us siyahi se kitne anginat log hidayat pa jate hain aur raah saadat hasil kar lete hain. Yaqeenan afzal hai, sach kaha hai Rasool ne. So, Mirza Shirazi wrote that today onwards, usage of tobacco in whatsoever form is equal to fighting Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. That's what he wrote, equal to fighting the Imam of your time.
Agar hamare samne aisa fatwa aa gaya hota, to aap soch sakte hain ki hamare yahan kaisi kaisi taqleed ke khilaf, maraje ke khilaf, mujtahidon ke khilaf.
Ayatullah al-Uzma Qui rahmatullah alayhi ke marne ke upar Hyderabad Dakhan mein mithai bhari. Ayatullah Khamenei ka putla jala diya gaya shehr-e-Lucknow mein. सो अब मैं तो अभी मिसालें देखने का टाइम नहीं कि मैं आपके सामने मिसालें दूं, नहीं तो मैं देने को मिसालें भी आपके सामने दे सकता हूं कि हमारे यहाँ क्या क्या नहीं हुआ और उसकी बदबख्तियां भी मुलायजा हम कर रहे हैं। यानी अल्लाह की लाठी में आवाज नहीं है, समझने की जरूरत है। बाद लोग ये भी नहीं समझ पाते कि बाल क्यों पड़ रही है, इसके लिए भी मारिफत चाहिए, ये समझने के लिए भी मारिफत दरकार है। जो बेमारिफतें हैं उनको क्या पता, मगर मार तो पड़नी है। तो उस कौम में जो अच्छी सिफत है वो हमें कबूल करनी चाहिए कि यहां फतवा दिया मर्जे ने, अब फतवे के ऊपर तनकीद और मुश्तहिद की टांग खींचने के बजाय जब वजीर से बादशाह ने कल हुक्का मांगा दरबार में फतवा आने के बाद, तो वजीर क्या कहता है कि हुजूर मेरा सर हाजिर है, आप मेरा सर कलम कर दीजिए मगर हुक्का ला के नहीं दूंगा आपको।
You can basically chop off my head, but I'm not going to bring you this hookah. And when he asked his wife to do the same, his wife said, "Well, no, I cannot bring you." And he said, "Upon whose command are you saying that you're not going to bring me?" She said, "Upon the command of the same one due to whose hukum I became halal on you." Now you see the level of obedience of that nation, and that's the reason Allah provided them izzat and dignity. So what I was saying, that Mirza Shirazi, I was talking about riqqatul qalb, going back to the point. Riqqatul qalb being raqeequl qalb, that you end up having tears in your eyes as soon as you talk about, you hear about Ahlul Bayt and their masahib, is one of the big blessings of Allah. And it shows that a person is pure at heart. He doesn't have qasawatul qalb. Mirza Shirazi was sitting, Mirza Shirazi al-Buzurg, the great, he was sitting in a gathering, and one of the khutaba was reciting a majlis for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he said this one statement, "Dakhalat Zainabu ala ibn Ziyad." Zainab entered on Ibn Ziyad, in the court of Ibn Ziyad. And Mirza Shirazi took his imamah off and he said to the Khatib, "Just stop it there. Let us just cry on this one sentence. That's enough for us." So for the awliyaullah, even one sentence is enough for them. For some people, you read the whole story and nothing happens. This is because of how much we abstain from the sins. Every mu'min is supposed to go to the paradise. Everyone who is a mu'min, and in the place of the word quote-unquote mu'min, you can place this translation which I am making as follows. Everyone who believes in the walayat and hukumat and khilafat and imamat of the 12 imams and 12 ma'thumin alayhimu salatu wasalam, and does not support any tahut in his life, is categorized as a mu'min. And if you die as a mu'min, you're going to go to the paradise. Yes, for sure. But Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said at the top of "Atakhawwafu alaykum bil barzakh." Tum logon ke bare mein barzakh se darta. Shifaat ka taluq jo hai wo barzakh ke sath nahi hai. Shifaat ka taluq hai aakhirat ke sath. हर शख्स जो ईमान पे मरा है, और ईमान की तारीफ मैंने अभी आपकी खिदमत में बयान की, उर्दू में भी अर्ज कर दूं कि हर वो शख्स जो 12 मासूमीन, 12 इमामों के अकीदे पर, 14 मासूमीन और 12 इमामों की वलायत और इमामत और खिलाफत और हुकूमत के अकीदे पर इस दुनिया से जाता है, वो मोमिन है। अगर वो अपनी जिंदगी में किसी भी ताबूत की हिमायत ना करे, दिल में तमायुल भी ना रखे, इंक्लिनेशन भी ना रखे किसी ताबूत की तरफ, सिंपथी भी ना रखे किसी ताबूत की तरफ, अगर हिमायत है दिल में भी, अगर हिमायत है तो वो मोमिन नहीं कहलाएगा। दिस इज द मीनिंग, दिस इज द सिंपलेस्ट डेफिनेशन ऑफ मोमिन। तो अगर इस तारीफ के तहत इंसान मोमिन है, यानी कि फला मरकज में जनाब दोनों सियासी पार्टियों के रहनुमाओं को दावत दी जा रही है नदीर के मौके पर, फला मरकज में दोनों सियासी पार्टियों के रहनुमाओं को दावत दी जा रही है, हमारा कंधा आपके लिए हाजिर है, आइए और आपने अपना एजेंडा हमारी कौम के सामने पेश करें, और महफिल मनाई जा रही है मौलाए कायनात की बलायत। फरमाया आपने
हमारी बसीरत का हाल। तो मैं आज कर रहा था कि अगर हम ईमान के ऊपर मरते हैं तो सबको जन्नत में जाना है, हर मोमिन को जन्नत में जाना है। मुसल्लम अमल जन्नत है, इमाम सज्जाद अलैहिस्सलाम ने फरमाया अमल जन्नत फलन तफूतकुम, कभी भी तुम्हारे हाथ से नहीं निकलेगी। अगर हम ईमान पे मरते हैं तो जन्नत तो जाना ही है, मुसल्लम है। बात सारी यह है कि कितनी पिटाई के बाद जन्नत में जाते हैं, बात सारी यह है। ये बरज़ख के जमाने का तो शिफात से ताल्लुक नहीं है, शिफात तो उनसे क़यामत है ना। हमारा मुसल्लम अकीदा है शिफात का, मतलब इसका ताल्लुक तो क़यामत से है ना। इमाम सादिक़ अलैहिस्सलाम ने पहले ही वार्न कर दिया है, अतखव्वफु अलैकुम बिल बरज़ख। अब बरज़ख के जमाने में कितनी इंसान की पिटाई होनी है, इसलिए कहा जाता है कि इंसान गुनाहों से परहेज करे। गुनाह तो फरमाया आपने, तो अभी तो हमें यही नहीं मालूम कि ज़ुहूर कब है, और फिर ज़ुहूर के बाद रजत का जमाना, और फिर रजत के बाद जाहिर सी बात है कि आइम्मा ताहिरीन अलैहिस्सलाम का दौर है, हुकूमत है अहले बैत की, उसके बाद जाके क़यामत आनी है। यानी यकीनन बरज़ख की मुद्दत जो इंसान को कब्र में गुजारनी है वो हमारी उम्र की मुद्दत और दौरानी से कहीं ज्यादा। इसलिए कहा जाता है कि इंसान अहकाम की पाबंदी करे, ये हमारे अपने फायदे की बात है, नहीं तो खुश करके लोगों को सबको जन्नत भिजवा दे तो बड़ा आसान काम। इमाम बाकर इस्लाम से किसी ने आके कहा कि एनीवन हु बिलीव्स हु रिसाइट्स द कलमा इज ही अ मोमिन। इमाम बाकर इस्लाम रिप्लाइड वेल ही सेड फ़ऐन फ़राइज़ुल्लाह, ये सारे के सारे फरीजों की फहरिस्त ये कहां चली गई, ये कहां लेके चले जाए, ये कुरान उठा के मैं कहां रखूं, ये शरीयत के अहकाम ये कहां रखे जाए, सब बारह ताक रख दी जाए, ये बिना वजह अल्लाह ने नाज़िल की शरीयत। अगर सिर्फ कलमा पढ़ के मसला हल हो जाए तो भाई ये सारे के सारे फराइज की फहरिस्त ये किस लिए है। सो व्हाट आई वाज सेइंग इज दैट Sheikh Saduq has mentioned this riwayat, and Ayatullah Mantiqi has mentioned in his book that one of the Anbiya was walking in a desert and in an area, and he found a stone and there was some water dripping out of the stone. He was kind of surprised when he saw this scene. He prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell him the wisdom behind it. And Allah sent him the wahi and informed him. And Allah actually allowed the stone to speak with the mu'jiza, and the stone started to speak directly with that messenger, Ayatullah Mantiqi says in his book. And this stone said that this water that you are seeing, which is dripping out from me, these are actually my tears. I have started to weep since I heard that there is a verse revealed in one of the holy books. Of course, the stone is talking about the holy Quran, but the hadith doesn't mention the word Quran. So, because the verse is revealed in the holy Quran. So, since a verse has been revealed in one of the holy books, which says that the stones and the humans will be the firewood of the hellfire. Since I heard that verse, I started to cry that may Allah not include me among those stones. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum, O you who believe, protect yourselves, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum and your family members, naran from the fire, wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara, firewood of that fire is the humans and the stone. So that's why we talk about this stuff to our youth and our fellow brothers and sisters, when we say that don't look at non-mahram with lust, na mahram ki taraf buri nigah mat daalo, because these are realities. Because the Prophet has informed us that anybody who looks at non-mahram with lust, Allah is going to provide two nails of fire to be poked into his eyes on the Day of Judgment. Prophet said the truth. He said nothing but the truth. When Prophet said in the occasion of Mi'raj, when I went there and I found a bunch of women were hanging with their hair, Prophet was told that these were those women of your nation
who used to expose the hair to non-mahram people. So this is for our own benefit when he says that. And I would like to say to my respectable daughters and sisters that hijab in Islam is one of the most beautiful teachings of Islam, although all the teachings of Islam are beautiful equally. Because hijab protects your chastity and is the sign of your haya and is the alamat and sign that Allah holds value for you and Allah considers you as respectful human being. This because of your value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dupatta hijab nahi hota. Let me say it very openly. A see-through dupatta is not the hijab. You have to cover your head. Let's be very clear about it. You know, what is allowed in Islam is to just expose this much face, which is wajib to wash in the wudu. Even covering beneath your chin, because this is not wajib to wash in the wudu, is it? So we have to cover the whole. You can open up just this much face, which is wajib to wash in the wudu, and the two hands below the wrist.
You have to cover your feet also.
And plus, hijab is a concept. It's not just covering the body and wearing tight clothes. Your clothes have to be loose enough not to show your body contour and body figure. And plus, the colors that we are choosing for ourselves should not be eye-catching colors that wherever a sister is passing by, a bunch of people are looking at her, you know, the hey, look at me kind of colors. Hey, look at me. Wherever you are passing by a bunch of people, you are basically, you didn't abide by the entire theme of the hijab. When you are attracting the non-mahram to you, then basically you didn't serve the purpose of hijab. It's very important to learn when we are sitting in the majlis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and talking about the azamat and greatness of our lady Zainab salamullah alayha and how he protected the entire Sharia, including the hijab, by all of her sacrifices. So we find that these things are not metaphorical. Majaz goi nahi hai ye paigambar ki guftugu mein. You have heard the statement of conversation that happened with Prophet and Zayd ibn Harisa. That's in the Sulh al-Kafi, that Prophet encountered this person, bunch of ashab are surrounding him. Prophet saw this young man surrounded by a bunch of ashab and asked him, Kaifa asbahta? How did you dawn? How did you enter into your morning? How did you dawn? And he said, Asbahta muqinan. I dawned in the condition of yaqeen. Prophet said, that what's the alamat of your yaqeen? What's the sign of your yaqeen? And he said, I can see the people of paradise right now in front of my eyes benefiting from the blessings of paradise and happy and cherishing about it, and I can see the people of the hellfire right now inside the hellfire being mu'adhab and punished by the punishments of Allah right now, and I can hear the voice of the hellfire. Hellfire has a voice, is a sami'u laha. إذا رأتهم من مكان بعيد سمعوا لها تغيظا وزفيرا. Hellfire has a voice. So those people who have the hijabat and curtains removed from their eyes, they see the people in their real forms. By doing the worships, they get the blessings. By doing the disobedience, their soul is burnt right now. Even when we do istighfar, they, awliyaullah, they see the person getting out of the hellfire due to the istighfar that he did right now, getting out of the hellfire into the heaven. They see him getting transferred. Even that much detail is visible for the awliya. And that's why they can't tolerate. So we find that no matter what we do in our life, if we abide by certain principles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always ready to forgive us. A person was, you know, you must have heard that story, that a person was drinking alcohol in the time of Rasulullah, and he had this bottle of alcohol in his hand. He came into the alley and he saw prophets coming from the other side of the alley. Now he got embarrassed. So he hid the bottle of alcohol behind his back. And he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh my Lord, if you just forgive me this one time, I would never drink alcohol again. Don't make me embarrassed in front of your messenger." And he did this kind of tawbah immediately in his niyat and heart. So, it's a small alley, of course, he cannot run away anywhere. Prophet is coming, he is also moving forward. They came close to each other and Prophet intentionally said to him, "What's in your hand?" And he lied to the Holy Prophet and said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is vinegar." Prophet said, "Show me." Prophet did his hand like this, "Show me." And he had to pour some of the vinegar into the hand, and it was vinegar. It was a bottle of alcohol. And he himself was shocked when he found that it's vinegar in the hands of Rasulullah. He was shocked and he said, "I swear to your risalat, your messengership, that I lied to you. It was alcohol when I said that. But now that I'm pouring it into your hand, it is vinegar. I was lying to you, Ya Rasulullah." Prophet said, "But what was the niyat in your heart?" He said, "Yes, I have this niyat in my heart. I said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you forgive me this time and don't make me embarrassed before Rasulullah, I swear I will never turn back to alcohol again." Prophet said that Allah, so basically when you are sadiq, when you have sidq, and when you have haya towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are four things that Prophet has mentioned in his hadith, that arba'un man kunna fi wa kana min qarnihi ila qadamihi dhunuban baddalaha Allahu hasanat. That's the maghul riwayah. That whosoever has four things in him, although he may be drowned into sins from the head to the toe, but if he has those four things in him, Allah will convert his sins into good deeds. On the day of judgment, he's going to find, that is in the day of judgment, when he will be resurrected, he would find, "There are no sins in my book of deeds. These are all converted into good deeds." If we have four things, these four things are so beloved in the eyes of Allah. Whether you have anything else or not, but you make sure you have these four attributes in your soul. What are those four? Sidq, sach bolna, telling the truth always. Haya, Allah ke samne haya rakhna. Maulay kainat ne kya kaha tha Nazil Balagha mein? Ij'al bainaka wa bain Allahi sitran wa in raqqa. Apne aur Allah ke darmiyan ek parda barqarar rakho, agarche bariki kyun na ho. सारे के सारे पर्दे आदमी चाखना कर दे गुनाह में, गुनाह करने के बाद आदमी फौरन तौबा करे ताकि वापस तो लौट आए सिरात मुस्तकीम पे। तौबा का लुगवी माना भी यही है, ताबा यतूबो यानी रजा यरजो, वापस लौट आना। हम सिरात मुस्तकीम से मुनहरिफ होकर जहन्नम में दाखिल हो चुके गुनाह करते ही, और जल गई हमारी रूह, हमें नजर नहीं आ रहा। नजर आ रहा होता तो कभी भी गुनाह ना कर रहे होते। और लिहाजा आप जब तौबा करते हैं तो हम वापस सिरात मुस्तकीम पर लौट आते हैं। तौबा यानी लौट आना। कहां लौट आना? सीधे रास्ते पे, जन्नत के रास्ते पे। तो सिद्क, सच्चाई, हया एंड हुस्नुल खुल्क, अच्छा अखलाक, एंड शुक्र, अल्लाह का शुक्र गुजार, बीइंग ग्रेटफुल टू अल्लाह इन ऑल टाइम्स। सो इस्लाम हैज मेड द वर्शिप सो easy for us, that every action that we perform in our life can be our worship if we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the story when Prophet asked in front of a bunch of his ashab, that who among you finishes the Holy Quran daily before his sleep? Salman Farsi was sitting in that gathering. He said, "Ana ya Rasulullah, I finish the entire Quran before I sleep." One of the ashab said, one of the companions said to Rasulullah that this Salman is lying. I saw him sleeping myself so many times. I was with him. I didn't see him reading the Quran before sleep. What is he talking about? And Salman Farsi said, "Laysa haythu tadhhab." It's not how you are thinking. It's because I heard my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Saying in his statement, in his hadith, that to Imam Ali alayhi salam, that Ya Ali, Salman Farsi is narrating this hadith, that I heard the Prophet saying to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Ali, ma masaluka fi nas illa ka masale surate qul huwallahu ahad fil Quran. Your example is nothing but the parable, the example of Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad in Quran. فَمَنْ قَرَأَهَا مَرَّةً فَقَدْ قَرَأَ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. Whosoever recites Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad once, he has recited one third of the Quran. وَمَنْ قَرَأَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ. Anyone who recites Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad twice, he has recited two thirds of the Quran. فَقَدْ قَرَأَ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. Two thirds of the Holy Quran. وَمَنْ قَرَأَهَا ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. And whosoever recites the Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad three times, فَقَدْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ كُلَّهُ. He has recited the entire Qur'an. وَكَذَا أَنْتَ يَا عَلِي. And you are similar, O Ali. مَنْ أَحَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِهِ فَقَدْ أَخَذَ ثُلُثَ الْإِيمَانِ. Whosoever loves you with his heart, he has acquired one third of the Iman. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ. And whosoever loves you through his heart and through his tongue has acquired two thirds of the Iman. And وَمَنْ أَحَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ فَقَدْ جَمَعَ الْإِيمَانَ كُلَّهُ. He has gathered the entire Iman. If somebody loves Imam Ali al-Islam with his qalb, with his heart, with his tongue, and with his hand, that means practically defending the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Islam. Prophet said, لَوْ أَحَبَّكَ أَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ كَمَا يُحِبُّكَ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ. If the people of earth loved you the way the people of heaven loved you, مَا عَذَّبَ أَحَدًا مِنْهُمْ بِالنَّارِ. Allah would not have punished anyone of them in the hellfire. So basically, hellfire is a custom-built place for those who oppose the walayat and hukumat and khilafat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. It's a tailor-made place. If you oppose his government, that's where you belong. So, what I was saying, and then the Holy Prophet said to his ashab, that which man among you performs ibadah throughout the night? And Salman said, me, Ya Rasulullah. I performed ibadah throughout the night. And the same companion objected. Unhi sahabi ne itraz shuru kiya ke ya Rasulullah, humne to dekha hai Salman ko sari sari raat sote hue dekha. Ye to phir jhoot bol rahe hai. He's like, we saw Salman Farsi sleeping throughout the night. And Salman said, laysa haythu tadhhab. It's not how you are thinking. He said, because the Prophet has said, man bata ala tuhrin faka'annama ahya al-layl. Whosoever sleeps on taharat, that means if you do wudu before sleeping, فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَ اللَّيْلِ. It's as if you have, basically you are doing إِحْيَاءُ اللَّيْلِ شَبْ زِنْدِدَارِي. You have been spending the entire night in ibadat. So every time I go to sleep, I do my wudu. You know, the teacher of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah Alayhi, Sheikh Shah Abadi, Imam learned his ilm al-irfan from Sheikh Shah Abadi. A very, very remarkable teacher. And he never used to take his name out of respect. And he used to say Salamullahi alayhi at the end of his mentioning him. So Sheikh Shah Abadi has mentioned in his book that wuzu is like an armor, body armor. As long as you have the wuzu, it's an armor and shield that will keep away the satanic deceptions away from you. So that's why our Urufa, they always keep on wuzu, all the times they are on wuzu. It's a body armor. So we find that the best of the examples have been displayed by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Once the Holy Prophet has said to his ashab that which one of you can pray two rakats of prayers in front of me without thinking about anything of this dunya? Imam Ali said, Ana Ya Rasulullah. I can pray, and I will not talk about with myself about anything of this dunya. Prophet had two, somebody came and gifted him two naqas, two she camels. And Prophet said, if somebody prays two rakats of prayers in front of me without thinking of anything of this dunya during the two rakats of prayers, I will gift him one of these two camels.
So Ali said, Ana ya Rasulullah, I can do it. And he started the prayers.
So now that he,
when he was done with the prayers, Jibreel was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Jibreel said to Rasulullah that Allah says salam to you and says, give him one of those camels. One of those two camels.
Prophet said, but he was thinking about, that means thinking about the camel. Jibreel said, he was thinking about the camel, which one of those two, which one, the bigger one of those two that he would take so that he can give sadaqah in the way of Allah. He can give the bigger camel as the sadaqah in the way of Allah. Set the best of the examples, and this is because they were Ahlul Yaqeen. You know, they were Ahlul Yaqeen. You know, my teacher was saying that you talk about Jahannam to people, it's not going to make any difference just by, you know, the lafz, the word of Jahannam, or the mafhoom, the meaning of the word, is not going to cause any major difference. To some extent, yes. The major difference, see, look at the seerat of Ahlul Bayt. The Imam Hassan alayhi salam, when he used to go for wudu, تَغَيَّرَ لَوْلُهُ, the color of his face used to change. And when somebody said to Imam Hassan, why does your color change? He said, you know, basically when you are appearing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your color has to change from his khawf. When Imam Ali alayhi salam is shivering in the prayers, it's because he's seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his qalb, with the haqa'iq of iman. Allah is not a physical body to see with the physical eyes, but you see with the haqa'iq of iman, how he said. So when Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is becoming unconscious during the prayers, my teacher was saying nobody can become unconscious because of the lafz of Jahannam or the mafhoom of Jahannam, the word or the meaning of Jahannam. You can become unconscious. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ تَكْرَار کرے جا رہے ہیں معصومین بے ہوش ہوئے because they were seeing the hellfire. That's the reason why they become unconscious, because when you see it, that's what causes you to come into that situation. So they have set the best of the examples, and Imam Ali alayhi salam was the first person who recited the Kalima, Kalimatul Istirja', what we call Inna Lillah wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. Kalimatul Istirja'. Certainly we belong to Allah and towards Him are we turning back. The first time in the history a person ever said this Kalima was Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this verse of Holy Quran, Inna Lillah wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, is part of the verse of Quran. It was not revealed yet at that time. And when did Imam Ali say that? He said that when he heard the news of Shahadat of his brother Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar in the Battle of Mauta. So now we started to talk about Hazrat Ja'far, the grandfather of Aun and Muhammad. Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar was the bravest hero of the Battle of Mauta, and Allah, Prophet was in Medina. Allah showed the Holy Prophet his battle. Prophet was watching the Battle of Ja'far al-Tayyar live when one of his hands was cut by one enemy, and he grabbed the alam in the second hand, and the second hand was also cut. And when the second hand was cut and one of the enemies poked the neza, the spear, in the chest of Hazrat Ja'far and raised his body, in the final moments Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar saw Rasulullah from far away
and Prophet was seeing him and he was seeing Rasulullah and he said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, salama muwaddi' la salama za'ir. Take my last salam, O Rasulullah, the salam of the farewell salam, salam of wida. Mera aakhri salam qabool kijiye. Ye za'irana salam nahi hai, ye wida karne wala salam hai, yani main aakhri salam kar raha. And what did the Prophet say about Hazrat Ja'far? At-tayyar fil jannah wa dhu jinahain aw dhu jinahain. Tardeed minni. Ja'far at-tayyar alayhi salam is in the paradise and Allah has given him two wings. And he's flying in with those two wings in the paradise. Ja'far at-Tayyar, the flyer. He's the brother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So such a brave hero of Islam has such brave sons like Anu Muhammad in his lineage. So when you find in the night before Ashura, the Shab-e-Ashur, har biwi apne bacche ko तैयार कर रही है कल कुर्बानियों के दिन के लिए कि सबसे पहले बेटा तुम्हें कुर्बान होना है. ऐसा ना हो कि हुसैन अली पे कोई आंच आ जाए. कल हम फातिमतु ज़हरा के सामने क्या जवाब देंगे अगर मौला इमाम हुसैन के ऊपर कोई आंच आ गई. हर बीबी अपने बच्चे को आमादा कर रही है. शहजादी ज़ैनब ने भी औनो मोहम्मद को तैयार किया, आमादा किया, कहा तुम्हें याद है ना कि तुम्हारे दादा जाफर तैयार है, तुम्हें याद है ना कि तुम्हारे नाना हैदर कर्रार हैं. और देखो बच्चों, अगर लड़ते लड़ते फुरात तक पहुंच गए तो खबरदार पानी ना पीना, क्योंकि अभी सकीना भी प्यासी. किस अंदाज से तैयार किया जा रहा है जाफर तैयार को और मोहम्मद को तैयार किया जा रहा है. और शहजादे जब अगले दिन रोजे आशूर आता है, अपने मामू के पास आते हैं, मामू की खिदमत में आते हैं इसने जिहाद मांगने के लिए. यकीनन अजादारों, मरना तो सबको है, ये कुर्बानियों ही का दिन है, मगर जिस पर गुजरती है उसको पता चलता है क्या कलेजा है मेरे मौला इमाम हुसैन का. किस दिल से इजाजत दे अपने भांजों को मर जाने की इजाजत कैसे दे. न जाने शब्बीर के दिल पे क्या गुजर गई. एक मौला ने इजाजत नहीं दी, मौला खामोश है. शहजादी ज़ैनब के पास, अपनी मादर गिरामी के पास वापस आए. शहजादी आती है इमाम मज़लूम के पास और आके खड़ी हुई. इमाम भी समझ गए बहन है. कहा, पूछा, बहन क्या बात है. कहती, बाद उलमा ने ये नकल किया, शहजादी ने फरमाया कि मैं आई हूँ और इस एतमाद से आई हूँ कि आपने कभी मेरी किसी बात को रद्द नहीं किया. किसी भी बात को शहजादी की इमाम हुसैन ने कभी रद्द नहीं किया. मौला समझ गए और मोहम्मद को इसने जिहाद मिला. दोनों शहजादे रवाना होते हैं. अब्बास, अबुल फजल अब्बास जैसे उस्ताद हैं, रवाना होते हैं. एक तरफ लश्कर मैमना की तरफ एक शहजादा बढ़ता है, मैसरा की तरफ दूसरा शहजादा बढ़ता है. एक अपने रजस में पढ़ता है कि ऐ कौम जफाकार, तुमने क्या समझा है, क्या दीन खुदा लावारिस हो गया है. जब तक हम जिंदा हैं इस दीन पे आज नहीं आने देंगे. एक शहजादा कहता है कि हमारे दादा जाफर तैयार हैं जिनको अल्लाह ने दो बार अता किए हैं, हमारे नाना हैदर कर्रार हैं. ये नहीं हो सकता कि हम जिंदा रहें और गोया तरीके से मौला इमाम हुसैन के ऊपर कोई आंच आ जाए. किस तरीके से, ये उनका मकसद, ये उनका मफहूम है, ये उनका इरादा है, ये उनकी कैफियत है जो इनके कल्ब में है. यानी यहाँ तक के दोनों शहजादों ने जिहाद किया. जिहाद के बाद जब जमीन करबला पे जख्मों से चूर होके गिरते हैं, चचा को आवाज दी, मौला चलते हैं, अबुल फजल अब्बास को हमराह दिया. एक एक शहजादे की लाशे को इमाम हुसैन ने उठाया, दूसरे शहजादे के लाशे को अबुल फजल अब्बास ने उठाया, लेकर आए क़याम के पास. दोनों जनाजे रख दिए गए. अब माँ की कनीज फिज़ा जब आती है, देखती है कि औनो मोहम्मद के जनाजे आए हैं, जाके शहजादी ज़ैनब को खबर दी, बीबी औनो मोहम्मद आ गए हैं. चलिए जरा चलिए, शहजादी ज़ैनब ने कहा मैंने मैं नहीं जाऊंगी, उनको वापस आने के लिए नहीं भेजा था। फिज़ा कहती है बीवी जरा चल के देखिए तो सही। अब जो शहजादी ज़ैनब पहुंचती है तो देखा बच्चों के जनाजे पड़े हैं। शुक्र अदा किया कि ज़ैनब अल्लाह के सामने भैया के सामने सुरखरू हो गई, भैया के सामने शर्मिंदा नहीं हो।
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها وإلهها برجم الإسلام وسر بلند فرمان برجم الكفر وشرك ونفاق وسر نبو فرمان انقلاب إسلامي كي حفاظة فرمان تمام علماء ربانيين تمام مراجع كرام بالخصوص رحمة انقلاب قصايا ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرمان تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرمان تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرمان تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آل محمد یا حسین